Hi, this is Joe Ibe, also known as FX, and also known as the Metal Hawk guy, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
So you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is, if you're listening to it today, it's Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. I am Brian Kilby. With me, I have the usual gang, JDXV John, Rob, JDXV Rob, John, JD, those guys. On the show today, we have probably the most important thing we've ever accomplished in our lives combined. We have an interview with Joe Ibe, also known as FX, but also known to the initiated as the Metal Hawk guy. Guys, what did you think about that interview?
It sure puts everything in perspective, doesn't it?
It was tremendous radio, really.
It was good.
It was great.
Joe is a long, long, long time Transformers fan, like going back to Transmasters in the 80s long. I mean, Rob, you're on the board of the Transmasters, but you weren't around in the 80s.
Yeah, I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a different kind of fan.
Yeah, exactly. But Joe was on the show, he is a legendary cosplayer. We're going to delve into the world of cosplaying. And be forewarned, we don't know anything about cosplay, so this is going to be a train wreck. Oh, I hate you, JD. Also on the show, we have
how about you just start using the words as well.
Well, it doesn't fit. Well, I mean, I have to go in and change where the word shows up in the sentence. Okay, we have some news. Let's just go ahead and get in the news. Somebody tell us what happened this week. I'm sort of walking away for a minute.
Okay, Masterpiece Skywarp finally hit Walmart in the United States, but the catch is that it's $60.
Holy crap.
Instead of the $49.99 or whatever odd numbering Walmart uses for Masterpiece Starscream.
I can justify that better than I can justify like $30 for the whatever the class is called. It's not, is it Voyager class? Ultra class?
Probably leader class, isn't that?
Well, the $30
between $30 and $40 typically.
Well, no, I mean like we got Onslaught, who originally was like $20, and now the whatever the redeco and slight is it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Onslaught started out at $25.
Oh.
And now Hardhead is $30 even.
Yeah, that's too much. I can't justify that, but I can justify $60 for Skywarp. I mean, he's purple.
Well, yeah, and compared to the price for the Japanese one too.
Yeah, the Japanese Skywarp goes for what, like $90, $100.
Yeah. Typically, yeah, about $90.
So original, sort of original retail plus markup.
Yeah, and shipping. So,
right.
Oh yeah,
it's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, and it's the exact same toy they got in Japan because, of course, they ditched the diecast after Megatron, didn't they? Or Skywarp, Starscream was the second. He's all plastic.
Yeah.
So
the Grimlock's got to diecast though.
He does. I thought they completely ditched it.
Oh, no, that's a heavy toy.
Oh, okay. I just assumed they did. They also ditched it in the Binal... No, did they? They ditched it in Binal Tech when they brought it back. And, like, the Kiss Play toys, they're plastic, too, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so.
Metal's expensive.
And
yeah,
stupid.
And sure is stupid.
Yeah, the paint just comes right the crap off.
I don't even like my Masterpiece Prime because it's half metal.
Yeah, I want it in plastic. Knew it would be the best Transformers ever. But as it is, it's like fourth.
More to think about it though, 60 sounds like a lot. I mean, it's no bigger than a liter, right?
Well, yeah, 60 is also hard to swallow because 2 years ago we got the exact same mold for $50.
But I didn't get it, so
I didn't buy it either. I'm just saying though.
I mean, yeah.
Thing, and now we're looking. I mean,
we need a bailout.
I mean, you can get the leader Optimus, you know, Revenge of the Fallen Optimus and Jetfire together for $70,
and they are together a better toy.
Right. I mean, that's where I say it's like, I don't want to too quickly jump to, yeah, it's a deal. No, I mean, am I going to shell it out probably, because, you know, that's who I am. But I can complain about it. I mean, I
we complain about everything.
Sure. You know, I'm just saying it's not a fair price point. Yeah, well.
Considering the alternative, I think that's the argument, that it's a decent deal considering the alternative.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and probably by the time Grimlock comes out, it's going to be up to $65 for one of these, and it's still going to be a great deal compared to the Japanese price.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but you got to add import price on that.
So, hey, what are the Japanese? They're releasing King Grimlock, but what are they going to repaint him as? Overkill?
Trypticon.
Oh, God.
Trypticon would be great.
Trypticon. Oh, God.
That would be so awful. Dinobot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
G1 Dinobot.
$100. Oh, jeez.
I'm all about.
But then he'd have to come with a rigid grill structure.
He would have to come with a rigid grill structure. Okay, last bit of news that we have documented. XV. It's like I'm passing the news.
What do you mean, last piece of news we have documented?
We write this crap down. We just don't ramble off the top of our heads.
Okay, so...
No. We actually have two bits of news.
Yeah,
yes.
That's kind of
don't sell us short like, here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so a few days ago, it turned out that there would be, from Impossible Toys, a fan-produced transformable RC figure. Except not. It was revealed today by a staff member from Cybertron.com that was actually one person's custom project. And he had been shopping around the idea of maybe casting and producing it and asking how much people would pay for it, etc. This eventually blew up into what became like the best rumor all week that Impossible Toys, who has absolutely no association with this figure, would be producing and selling this toy.
I heard your mom would be producing this toy.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, you passed the news.
Yeah.
like a kidney stone.
I saw this and I thought, oh great, it's another one of these, you know, fan toys that I don't want.
I just saw it and I was like, holy crap, when's the CNA coming?
Yeah, it's probably already in the mail. You know, if we get this, will be completely moot, especially if we get eventually animated RC,
which is supposed to be coming out, just who knows when.
Right. And that's more than close enough for just about everybody.
Yeah.
I don't like the colors of the animated RC toy.
I wonder if the animated RC, like, bio has somehow snuck in, like, Headmaster in here for Don.
Oh, boy.
Just some sort of reference to Daniel and... Never mind.
You know if that actually happens, it's not like that, like,
okay.
Day four.
Well, on the topic of fan-produced knockoffy things. Someone posted to AllSpark today, putting out the idea that they might start casting copies of the Japanese exclusive Animal Headmaster toys.
Crap.
Which, excuse me?
Crap.
Okay. Which, whatever quality the toys might be, are extremely difficult to come by since they were originally released in 1987, 88, something like that. They fetch quite a price on the secondary market, and I don't know if anybody's going to be interested in off-color knockoffs of them, but it could be a good alternative if they're cheap enough.
But isn't part of the allure the elusiveness? I mean,
it depends on the collector, really.
Yeah, if you have someone who's a total completist, they want it, period. Like I said, these toys are rare. Before the show, I mean, we were talking, there are certain toys that are very rare that I would want. I would kill to have a Battle Gaia, but I wouldn't pay more than $200 for it.
I just want something with the name Battle Gaia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the better Japanese names for a Transformer.
Oh, yeah, it's totally awesome. But, yeah, I wouldn't pay more than... Well, I mean, that mold is currently in use. I mean, they could totally
that's been currently in use for, like, 10 years.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. It's not
I have a pretty good Battle Gaia that came in an Easter basket.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
almost a Guard City that came in an Easter basket.
Yeah, I bought that Battle Gaia, like, or Guard City, like, four times over for, like, $3 at Family Dollar.
Miscolored Autobot symbols and stuff.
Yeah. Hey, going back to the thing about the Headmaster RC, just wanted to for the people who are listening who don't know this, there's a guy who, I don't know if he's still there. He may be listening. The fans refer to him as Headmaster Don.
Hi, Don.
I don't remember Don's last name, but he always asks during the Q&A at BotCon whether or not Hasbro is going to release Headmaster RC. And, you know, pestering Hasbro apparently worked because that's how he got the Walmart exclusive Big Daddy figure. You know, it was totally worth it.
That's the difference between having a Kide doing repaints, though.
Yeah, having yeah. You know, a Hasbro employee who, you know, on your Facebook friend page, and, you know, in channel, it's, you know.
Today on AllSpark, from one of the Hong Kong Transformers boards, came a picture of a grayscale test shot / prototype of something that looks remarkably like the Frenzy and Rumble character design.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty sharp.
It just
yeah, it looks really nice.
Transformed into anything.
Yeah.
It turns into a block.
The popular theory right now, though, is that it's part of a larger toy and that it would combine in some way to make a complete alternate mode.
That would make sense.
Well, what about it? What if it's like, if it comes with something else, though? I mean, similar to, say, like the Ravage cassette did.
Right. I mean, it could have a prisoner / transport / box mode.
I would love to have a box.
Well, it looks like it could do a cassette transformation. I mean, the way the legs bend.
Well, yeah, as much as Ravage was a cassette, it's got the holes, except this doesn't even have the holes in the middle. It's just got the chest design.
Maybe it turns to an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Or a USB stick.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to really just quickly tease the interview. Go to tfradio.net if you didn't check it out already, and download the interview with Metal Hulk guy Joe Ibe. He talks about his Transformers Star Trek The Next Generation crossover. This conversation made me think, because if we actually had one of those, we could have a Borg cube, and that would literally be a box Transformer. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, if they went with a Borg sphere, they've already got two toys that they could retool into that, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Plus a Minicon.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Minicon.
Wow. Okay, I can't believe we actually pulled that one out of our butts.
Wow.
Way to go, XP.
Good going.
This is why we have this show.
Yeah, exactly. So, JD, what is this day in Transformers history? What happened this day?
Well, not this day, but a day upcoming, which would be November 7th. First up in 2000, saw the first release on DVD of the original Transformers, the movie.
It was my first DVD.
Mine too.
It was not mine. But that was, I do recall at the time that it was like pandemonium huge. I think I went to the store the first day it came out to pick it up, or maybe even pre-ordered it. So huge, because up until that time, I think the widest release had been the Canadian
VHS.
The Malifilm
VHS from back in 98.
Yeah, which I think I had up until a couple of years ago still.
I still have it. And here's how lame I am. I actually memorized the tracking number from UPS. Because I was so anxiously looking forward to getting my copy of Transformers the movie.
What was the number?
1ZXA4 something. I have forgotten at this point, but it started with 1Z. Oh. Start
with 1Z?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Hey! They haven't changed the configuration. I really did, and it was really sad. But you know, now I love the movie and hate it at the same time. And you know, if there came another edition on DVD, I probably wouldn't buy it.
But yes, you would.
Speaking of another edition, though,
there's another edition on DVD.
There was another edition that came out.
It's not like
exactly.
Sony released it or anybody.
It
major.
Was Sony, believe it or not. Sony
what, they
released
one for the
it.
20th anniversary or something.
Who knew? Yes, it was almost like you guys read the show notes.
That was 2000. What was that? 2006.
Six. Yes.
Yes.
It's not like it happened on the same day.
Yeah, I mean, it was the exact same day 6 years later. No, but the interesting thing about that is this was a much larger release. It was,
Walmart,
I think,
Walmart had it.
I mean, yeah, it was a huge release. Like, this was available everywhere. I know at the time, a lot of people, you know, knew that I was a big Transformers fan and were talking to me. Like,
17
hey,
copies of it.
Out. Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, it was big. And it had, like, and it's an actual full DVD in the sense of there are several commentaries available.
Which I've never watched.
Easter eggs.
It has the much desired widescreen version.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, sort of.
It's widescreen my butt.
Well,
it's a wider screen.
It's a wider screen. It's the original aspect ratio, right? I mean, that's sort of.
There's always like overscan on a movie theater screen, almost always. You'll always see stuff to the left and to the right where it's just projected out, and we get all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Most people don't care, but trans fans are obsessive.
I care.
I never noticed once.
I want it all. But
I'm too busy watching to notice someone's arm.
Yeah. We can get to see Windcharger's arm. There's his dead
arm.
The
difference. They show you these things, widescreen, full screen. I'm like, wow, there's a coffee cup to decide. I never noticed that.
There's Ratchet's coffee cup.
Yeah.
It's not always that bad. But and speaking of commentaries
and Transformers the movie.
And
slick.
Transformers the movie, I think somebody might have done a commentary for that film.
Just for the 20th anniversary. The third anniversary of the 20th anniversary.
The third anniversary of the 20th anniversary. No, it's the third anniversary of the 20th anniversary, which is the 6th anniversary of the DVD release. Yes.
Well, yeah, so we did the Sony version, which, I mean, it'll completely work on your Rhino version or your Malifilm version or whatever version you have.
Or your third-hand copy of the Family Home Entertainment VHS.
I had a fifth-hand copy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, actually, no. We did it because G.I. Joe didn't work. It didn't work out. And
that was the Rise of Cobra, not Resolute or the 87 movie.
I think we're going to do the 87 movie soon. But we decided, what the heck? We all had a copy of G.I. Joe. Transformers, the movie. Let's
had a copy of G.I. Joe, too.
Except for J.D.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
So we decided we might as well go ahead and do Transformers, the movie. So it's not really like an actual serious commentary. I mean, there are moments where we do seriously comment on it.
About half of it is an advertisement for the parody.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
It's mostly us talking. So if you want to watch Transformers, the movie with us, download it. We'll have it in the show notes.
And why wouldn't you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you spend an hour and a half with us every week anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised how many people downloaded the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen commentary. It was, I mean, way more than I expected. And
but almost anything would make Revenge of the Fallen better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So,
such as our commentary that you should totally download and listen to if you haven't already.
Oh, it's awesome. It's
But it does not work with the IMAX version of the DVD.
It only works with the lame standard version of the DVD.
Mm, we kind of screwed up on that one.
Yeah.
It's all we can afford.
Yeah.
You know what would make the IMAX version better? Bacon.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah,
yes.
Everything is bacon. Better with bacon.
That's why we have you on the show, Rob.
That's right.
You're awesome.
You're the idea man.
Yeah, he is. He is really
You know, yep. I totally want some bacon sushi right now.
Oh, dude. I could totally go for like some filet with bacon, you know, bacon wrapped filet.
You guys know what I ate in class this morning?
Bacon? Blueberry.
Oh, well, no, I wish I had blueberry in class. today was the last class for a particular class, so one of the guys brought in donuts and like breakfast food. And I had bacon, and I had Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh.
And I totally wrapped bacon around the Krispy Kreme donut. You see where I'm going with this?
How much fat was in that?
Yeah. You know,
does it sound like he cared?
Not enough.
I was just
that
like,
thing
oh,
is there's
my
probably
God.
Less fat in the bacon than there is the Krispy Kreme.
You know, I'll again mention that, you know, Krispy Kreme is, I can proudly say, is a local, very local company. And I've often thought about getting a job with, like, at their office. But I, as much as I love their donuts, I really feel bad each and every time I eat one.
Not me.
Not me.
What a way to die.
God, they're
I'm
awesome.
Sure there they give you like free donuts every Friday or something. Am I right?
In elementary school, like twice a week, they would serve us Krispy Kreme donuts.
God.
Yeah, twice
a week.
That's
illegal now.
Yeah.
They gave us Krispy Kreme donuts at school, and I'm certain because Krispy Kreme probably cut them a good deal.
I remember one time in kindergarten, they took us to McDonald's to get pancakes.
Ah, the 80s.
Yeah,
that's great.
In kindergarten and first grade, every time my class had a field trip, we stopped at McDonald's and got a Happy Meal.
Yeah,
just was like for the whole group to split.
No, like the bus would just pull up in, the teacher would walk out, and you see employees bringing them. Like our parents gave us like $2 because I think it only cost us like $2. And I know they weren't very expensive.
Yeah.
And like, no, it was $1.
So
they come shuffling them out.
I'm going to smoothly and finesse. Steer this on topic. Finessely steer this on topic.
That was well done.
Thank you.
Nice.
So, does anyone have any of the like 80? What is it, 85, 86 St. Louis test Happy Meal toys for Transformers? Because that was like in one market, like in the mid 80s, where they had Transformers Happy Meal toys.
Well, I came close to buying some a few years ago, but
how much were they? I've never actually seen those priced.
One guy had them for $35.
Really? That's less than I expected.
Yeah, but that was like eBay, so that was a starting price. And I'm not sure they were cast or something they made.
Yeah, a while back, I saw somebody selling a set of them on AllSpark. I don't think they were very overpriced either, like for what you would think they would cost for what they were.
Yeah, that's something I would actually like to have just for novelty's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, like, one of the strangest things in my collection, and not that it's strange, is I have a copy of Return of Convoy, which in Japan is plentiful. You can go to, like, any, game store and buy a copy, but
right.
I don't know anybody else that really has a copy.
Well, I don't know anybody else who would want a copy.
Yeah.
Have you actually played that thing?
Of course.
Well.
Yeah, aneurysm in the first second.
Yeah, it's pretty awful, but, it's cool. It's like, hey, look at this.
Angry Video Game Nerd made a really good video on it, where he was playing it, and at the end, after he finally beats the game, his Famicom transforms into Optimus Prime and starts shooting at him.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a good show, and that was a great send-off for it with that the way he did the whole bit. I figured he was going to be total G1 the whole time, but no, he did it straight up. He even did the old Commodore game, too, on that clip, too.
Has anyone played the PlayStation 2 game?
The Armada one?
No, the G1 PlayStation 2 game.
Oh, Transformers Big Fight or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's crap. I have it. It's crap.
Yeah.
Nice.
I played it at a game store where they had some imports, and I was just like, really? This is what I was excited for?
No,
just running around.
And that was the reason I bought a PlayStation 2, by the way.
Seriously?
Seriously, I didn't even want one. I had my GameCube. I was happy. I saw this game coming out. I was like, okay, I'm going to go buy a PlayStation now.
Do you have your PlayStation modded?
No,
I do.
You do.
My third PlayStation, because they keep breaking on me. That's why I haven't got a PS3. They keep just dying.
You're not supposed to play baseball with them. They're not baseballs, Rob.
They just sit there and break. Like, the first one I had just stopped working. Then I went to the Walmart and bought another one, and within 2 weeks, it stopped working. Luckily, I still had the box to return it.
I remember.
Are you sure it's not an Xbox?
No, my Xbox. I have one
it's
of
a
the...
rock.
My Xbox 360 is the one from Midnight Release Party yet to have a red light.
Wow. I've had a red light, but it was a soft red light. It still works.
My brother has one every time he turns the thing on. Me? Same one from release day 2005.
Yeah, mine's from 05 too.
Yeah.
I remember at Walmart once seeing somebody try to return a 3-year-old PlayStation 2, no box or anything, and not even all of the parts to it.
Okay, back in like 2004, my friend Stan, who used to work for Best Buy, someone tried to return a Dreamcast that didn't have its top.
Oh, nice.
And Stan said, well, sir, we haven't sold these in like 4 years. And the guy, he took the Dreamcast and threw it at him, and he dodged it, and it shattered on the wall.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think the funniest.
That doesn't happen down here.
Like a couple of months ago when the whole G.I. Joe Resolute thing was going on, my girlfriend and I was at Walmart. You know those Resolute box sets they had where it had like a bunch of toys in there?
Yeah, I didn't buy that, but I know.
I didn't either, but I opened one up and someone had returned this box set and all the Joes are taken out and it had nothing but a couple of Coors figures and some old 80s G.I. Joe stuck in there like all painted or like. They found it at a Goodwill store or something. I had a Scarlet that looked like a turd on it. I mean, I don't know why. I should have bought it because it was like, wow, but it was just crazy.
Okay, so.
In
the show notes, we'll link to the TF Wiki article on toy swapping.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and does everyone have their alcohol, those of us that imbibe? Because we're going to talk about cosplay.
Do any of us drink?
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
Oh yeah.
So guys, cosplaying is such an
you had to gear up for that.
Yeah, it's such. I mean, I have been interested in cosplay forever. it's one of the more interesting aspects of going to a convention.
How exactly do you mean the word interesting, Brian?
It's part of the fan experience, XV.
There's
no middle ground. You're either a cosplayer or you're not a cosplayer.
You're either amazingly good or holy crap, what is that supposed to be?
And luckily, yeah, exactly. BotCon, typically you're lucky enough only to get Transformers, but for those of us who regularly attend like comic conventions, the door's wide open.
Does anybody remember the picture that used to circulate around of a guy with a rather thick beard dressed as Sailor Moon?
No.
Dude, that was me.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Dude, good stuff. Send that to me. I will post the link to that.
I don't know where it is. It's been years since I've seen it.
Okay.
I'm sure a little time on Google and you'll find it.
Yeah.
Heard tell of a similar event with the character Faye Valentine from Cowboy Bebop. Also cosplayed by a dude, probably with a beard.
So, okay, just full disclosure. Last week we were going to talk about Halloween costumes, and we were going to squeeze cosplay in because they're basically the same thing. We decided, hey, we want to get Joe Ibe on the show because he's one of our favorite trans fan celebrities. Didn't work out to where we could do it last week, so this week we decided, hey, we'll talk about cosplay. And, I mean, the only person here is a cosplayer is XV, and, I mean, he doesn't really want to talk about it. So we're doing our best.
This is up to the guys from Muscle a lot.
Oh yeah, dude, yeah. That would be, I want to be the guy with horns, and the sort of the, you know, curly mullet. So, but no.
That's okay. You can link to my Skype avatar and just say that's me.
Yeah, that works. Okay,
isn't you.
I thought it was.
I was imagining as you.
Here's the thing. In all seriousness, it really is part of the fan and comic and fan and convention experience is seeing the people dressing up as the things they love. And really, a lot of love and attention goes into those costumes. I mean, you know, you and I may look at that and say, well, that's a little extreme. But of course, so is sitting behind a microphone and, you know, talking about nerd stuff for an hour and a half a week.
Robots.
Yeah, it's just a different type of expression of, you know, your passion and love for a hobby. And sometimes, you know, the costumes are the hobby. You know, you may look and you may say, well, I like designing these things. I'll pick interesting looking costumes to design and I'll do it. So, guys, those of us who've actually, like, been out to all the conventions, have you actually ever, like, have you seen, like, a costume that you look at and you're like, oh, wow, that's awesome? Or which ones have you saw that, you know, you look at and like, oh, no, that's a disaster? Anybody? We're not all at once. Don't jump in.
Oh,
you know, we're pretty lucky. We're pretty lucky as a fandom because our cosplayers are pretty skilled. And I guess, you know, when you consider the subject of the robots, it's not like a human character like with anime. So they kind of have like a tall order with these costumes. But for the most part, if you go to a BotCon, almost all the costumes you see are really, really good. And I think the interesting part about cosplay in general is for the most part, I think generally speaking, at least with trans fans, you know, most of us are kind of are well into our adulthood. And as far as our hobbies go, you know, we're kind of neutral on telling people about them, or even kind of introverted as far as our hobbies go. So when you go to these conventions, everyone becomes kind of an extrovert, and cosplayers are the most extreme extrovert. You know, they turn the hobby around completely, do a complete 180 on the way most of us treat our hobby. And I think that's why we kind of, you know, that we're drawn to them. And I think that's why lots of outsiders, so to speak, or non-geeks, you know, when they see like footage of BotCon or other conventions on television, they always see the cosplayers. You know, the television cameras always go to the cosplayers. And that's cool. I think there's like an acceptance and an appreciation for people who are that into everything.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, under the costume, you can't tell if someone's a virgin or not.
I beg to differ.
That was low. I'm sorry.
That'll go away. But I think it's true. It's like you said. I mean, there's a lot of labor. There's a lot of time and a lot of love that goes into the work and a lot of thought. I mean, some of my favorite, you know, costumes, not necessarily that I've seen myself, but I've seen pictures of. I think one of my favorites is the sort of tribal woman with the Cookie Monster, you know, like wearing the Cookie Monster carcass. I mean, that's just inventive and hilarious. You know, and of course that's non-trans.
Planet the cave Cookie Monster.
Yes. I mean, but that's, you know, but again, there's a lot of time. I mean, you know, I've done theater and I know the amount of thought and work that goes into just doing costumes for theater. And, you know, so I know that these people are spending a lot of time, you know, doing what they do. And that's why I say it's, I think it's really cool. Like, the amount of passion that goes into doing something to put yourself out there, you know, because for as many people I think that would come up and say, you know, this is cool, you know, that's a great, you know, costume, how'd you do that? There's going to be as many people, you know, that wouldn't be as friendly about it.
Oh, absolutely. And that I was looking at our YouTube channel today, and I was looking for comments. And I knew that there were going to be some positive comments, and I knew there were going to be negative comments, because behind a computer screen, people can be jerks. And, you know, Joe goes into that in the interview. But when you put yourself out there doing a podcast, or put yourself out there on YouTube, or put yourself out there on a blog, you're exposing yourself. And that is true extroversion. And, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
You know, it's amazing to me the, like, disparity in level of quality between Japanese people's cosplay and American cosplay. I mean, the Japanese stuff looks like, you know, completely professionally designed, sewn, you know, complete professional production of the costumes, whereas a lot of the American stuff doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to say that there is not some talented quality work in American cosplay, but you don't see that near as much.
Right. It's like the Japanese, they seem to take it much more seriously than over here. They're like, I really want to do this, but I want to put about maybe 30 minutes into it.
Well, that plus some people would have you believe that there's a variety of things the Japanese people take to be an art form that we just see as, you know, another thing to do.
Mm.
Or, you know, just a job.
They kind of elevate it,
yeah,
to a higher level.
How much of that is true or not is up for debate, but I mean, it seems to take on a completely different meaning with them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know, a lot, I guess some of what we've heard, or certainly what I've kind of seen, is a lot of it is just kind of the enjoyment of making the costume and mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, that's the experience for lots of people just as much as walking around in it. So, you know, that might be part of why sometimes American costumes are not quite as detailed or finished out, because, you know, the people who made them, at least here, you know, their experience and their enjoyment is kind of in the creation of it and working on it. Not necessarily, you know, do I look the best or is this the absolute best costume?
Am I in shape?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this at this conference. You know, they're happy. I mean, making the costume is where they get their enjoyment.
Right, and that's really cool for them. You know, it's great that they've got a way to express themselves like that.
Oh, yeah,
but I think one of the kind of bringing it back into the Transformers side of it, I think some of like my favorite or some of the most interesting Transformers cosplay are the ones that really play on the dynamic of Transformers, and that is the ability to transform. So I think some of the most interesting costumes are the ones that actually do transform, that people are able to, you know, sort of fold up. And I think there was a YouTube video that was out a few weeks ago that somebody had made, like, I think it was for a car dealership or something, but they had made like a full transforming Bumblebee costume. And that's, I mean, I think that's the stuff that's really amazing to me, you know, to be able to sort of build that into not only have a working, wearable, movable costume, but also something that actually will, you know, even though you're kind of getting on the ground and kneeling down and whatever, but will sort of fold up into a passable vehicle for
the suspension of disbelief. When Bumblebee is out there transforming, if you suspend the disbelief, you may actually believe it is Bumblebee or not.
I think my favorite Transformers costume all time was, BotCon 07. There was this guy. He was a handicapped guy. He's in a wheelchair. And you guys know the little Optimus Prime t-shirt you can get at Hot Topic where it's like the front of the truck?
Yeah.
He was wearing that, and he's putting on the Optimus Prime movie mask type toy, whatever that, what do you call it thing, the helmet. And he had a little trailer behind his wheelchair.
I remember this guy.
Okay, yeah, and the wheelchair looked good.
I'm looking for a picture right now.
Yeah.
He folded it and made a battle station just like the real Optimus Prime. And I'm like, you know, this is like a guy who's taking his handicap and having fun with it, saying, yeah, I'm a handicap, but you know what? Look at me. You know, he wasn't like, it was an awesome costume. I wish I would have hung out with him, be truthful.
Yeah, he was like doing the opposite of hiding, you know, any disability.
We were hanging out with Sprocket that weekend.
Yeah, speaking of disabled.
Oh, he's a good kid. Of course, I had him believing that I was Glenn Hallett for the whole weekend.
Yeah, I gave him a bench to pick him up 30 feet in the air.
He thanked you for it. It was kind of cool.
He liked it.
Hey, Sprocket.
Hey, guys, Sprocket. We're just saying you're a dork.
Sprocket, no, Sprocket's listening. Sprocket, I really do want to meet you again, and I want to hang out with you as me.
Get Glenn Hallett to go meet with him and claim to be you.
Yeah, Glenn, if you're listening, you need to totally pretend to be me next time you're out.
If you're listening, what's up? Email.
He's on Facebook.
Yeah, he follows us.
Yeah. He's a fan. He's on our fan page. Glenn's out there. He was our 50th fan, actually. I said that I would bring Radio Free Cybertron back if we got 50 fans on Facebook. Now we're way beyond that. But Glenn Hallett was our 50th fan. Glenn sealed the deal.
So it's actually because Glenn became our fan that we're back.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I am I am the official Glenn Hallett stand-in. He made that official on AllSpark.
Mm. Nice.
Like a
of course, the only reason you asked for 50 fans is because you never thought you'd get that, right?
No. I had it in like 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks.
But this is what I mean. It's like, you're like, I'll never get 50 fans. So I'll say if I get 50, I'll do the show. And then so, there you go.
It's like, I'm going to have 50 fans. How many of them are Ouija?
It was about 30 of them.
Yeah, it's like, I think we were all the ones that signed up at first.
Okay. So do we have any more cosplay discussion, or do we just want to go into the Joe Ibe interview?
Why don't we just go on to the interview? I don't think we can really belabor cosplay anymore than we have.
Joe,
other than to say it's awesome. Yeah.
Joe, I know you're listening, and I told you, please forgive us for our ignorance. Some of the things that we said may not have been pretty, but you know, we are uncompromising in our opinions, but we thank you for coming on the show. And we respect cosplay. We really do.
I'm 42 years old. 43 is coming up very soon. And I've been costuming quite literally since I was like 2 years old. I got photographs of me just putting stuff together in the photo album. And I really got into Transformers when it first came out, mainly because I liked that they put profiles on them. Yeah, and, you know, everyone's going, well, don't you like GoBots? No, because all you have, Leader One, Heroic Robot. Well, what does that tell me about them? Nothing, really. I've been, got really into making costumes not too long after high school. Then just kind of went on from there. You know, I do a lot of other costumes and a lot of other things, but, you know, Transformers has been basically my relative niche so far. I've done, like, well, going in order of what I've done Wreck-Gar. Don't have any pictures of him, unfortunately. And it was pretty good. I could actually halfway transform in him. I just couldn't get my legs to bend forward. Yeah, and then I did Metal Hawk from Japan. Yeah, well, it was either Metal Hawk or Optimus Prime. I can't remember which one I did either one of. The first, you know. But, yeah, I took Wreck-Gar and Optimus Prime down to Comic-Con, and I walked around the dealer's room as Metalhawk, and I did the masquerade as Optimus Prime with the Matrix in the chest.
It has the Matrix in the chest?
Yeah, I opened the chest up and revealed the Matrix.
I don't think we've seen any pictures of that.
I never saw a picture of that. Is that on your website or on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, it should be on the YouTube channel. I did Optimus Prime before Metalhawk, because I remember I went to Fanime and went into the masquerade with that, and that was like a year or two before I went to Comic-Con, so. And I probably would have won a prize for that, but when I walked out on stage, everybody just, I was just so surprised that everybody gave me a standing ovation for doing that. I'm going, wow, really? You know, I just walked out there and going, I was just totally stunned and forgot what I was going to do. Because I had a blaster that I kind of mocked up that looked almost like from the animation series and the toy. So basically, I was going to, you know, do some like gun spinning with it. And I just was like, wow, really? And then I just walked out because I was so surprised. And backstage, three people were going, oh, Optimus Prime. Oh, I got to get a picture.
Go ahead. Oh, hey, Joe. This is John. Good to talk to you. I've got a couple quick questions. Over the years, like what's the one costume that's your favorite, you're like your personal favorite, and do you keep these, like do you store these and archive these costumes, or are you always, you know, kind of tweaking them and messing with them? Do you ever retire them?
Well, to answer the second one first, no, I don't archive them because I sweat in them a lot, and then after a while, they it's cardboard and duct tape, and the cardboard, my sweat, even with the padding I put through them, just seeps right through. You know, and after a year or two, I kind of have to store them out in like a shed or the garage or something like that, and it's not, it's kind of humid here, so it just kind of really disintegrates everything after a time. Plus, after wearing them for a bit, I got to kind of remake some parts of them. My favorite one, I'd have to say it was Optimus Prime because it was easier to put on. But the second one would have to be Star Saber.
I don't know that I saw the Star Saber, or that I've seen the Star Saber.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the full one. It's just the jet one. It's not the combined form.
So it's Star Saber, not Victory Saber.
Right. Star Saber, according from what I've read in the profile, it's Saber, which is the jet, and then Star Saber is the jet and V-jet combined. But I did the small jet Brainmaster, and that turned out good, but it didn't turn out great until I figured out, oh, I'm not wearing the right shirt underneath this thing to make it look like it's correct. But I had the nose cone mounted on the shoulder, and I had the fuselage back there with the wings, and I'm going to try and remake it in, like, Wonderflex sometime soon.
Hi, Joe. This is XV. Now, to get a little bit off the Transformers costumes for just a moment, I noticed that you made costumes for other series that I assume you're a fan of, including Doctor Who. I was just wondering, what led you to make a TARDIS costume?
Basically, I wrote a short story where the Doctor materializes in the midst of the battle between the Autobots and Decepticons in an oil field, and the Decepticons in a retreat sense the power inside the TARDIS and take it with them. And so basically the only thing the Doctor has to do is join with the Autobots to try and get it back. And after one failed attempt, he thought this was with the Colin Baker character, and he was, I put it in the story between where he's working on the chameleon circuit. And so basically he has Optimus Prime kind of imbue it a bit with the imbue the chameleon circuit a bit with the Transformer life, and then he has his companion go inside, insert it in, and then the Doctor becomes the head of the TARDIS in a robot form. And I did this way because in the BBC's Writer's Guide, I've been told that the TARDIS cannot become alive for any reason whatsoever. So that's why I did that.
Okay, so it's a fan character based on the TARDIS, basically.
Right. Well, Doctor Who series, yeah.
I don't know anything about Doctor Who myself, so I'm just sort of scratching my head here.
Yeah, and I also showed it to the actor when he came over for a convention one time, and he kind of liked the idea.
Say someone's wanting to start to get into this. How do you do it? How do you make some of these costumes?
Well, basically, figure out which character you want to do. And then kind of figure out how much you want to see out the helmet and whatever, because, you know, visors and stuff like that. The way I start is I start with the legs and kind of work up. Basically, you want to, you know, make sure the way I do it is with cardboard. You want to get, especially for the legs, you want to get the most sturdiest cardboard you can. Basically, like vegetable boxes, wine boxes are the best. And if you want to really get something that's extra durable, you can go over to the U-Haul Center and get those moving boxes, which are durable. And then get yourself lots and lots of duct tape. To start off, you basically make a box for your legs that's just basically touching your skin, and that you can slide in and out of easily, and make sure you got room to put your foot in. And then to make it even snugger, after you get everything all done, you get like half-inch foam cushioning and then glue it in there, and then that makes it extra snug, and you could go jogging with those things on. And so I'm doing comics now, and I'm doing two of my main thrusts right now are I'm just completing a kind of like an elf story. Is about an elf growing up with humans who kind of gets mixed up in a war. And then the other one, which is more relevant here, is called Transformers The Litany, which is a mytho-historical tale of the evolution of the Transformers. I also did a short story with the Transformers and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I turned the Enterprise D into two Autobots, Star Drive and Saucer, which I guess you can figure out which one is which. When I was watching, two things that have really bugged me about the first movie was, one, in the theater, there was no hero shot of Optimus Prime transforming. You got a nice shoulder, undercarriage or whatever, but you never saw a full body transformation. Everybody else had one. Why didn't Optimus Prime have one? But it was the movie when Sam's parents burst into his room and they first meet Michaela, the mother goes, "Oh, my, you're cute." And then the MST3K fan in me said, "Oh, do you swing both ways? Have you ever had a mother-son threesome? Come on, I'll show you where to keep the strap on, and then you can do my husband and the dog."
Dude, that was my favorite interview that we've ever done. That was just a 10-minute snippet of the actual interview, which is like 40 minutes of awesome. It was really fun. Again, Joe, thank you for coming on. I keep saying that because he's listening. And Joe is one of those people. Okay, I have been a lucky trans fan to be able to pretty much meet and know every other trans fan that I've wanted to meet, you know, in the hobby. Joe is on the short list of people that I've not met, and I hope someday to actually meet him in person. But Joe is one of those people that I've always known about, never got to meet, but talking with him was a treat. You guys feel the same way?
Yeah, that's like a status thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry you weren't on there, Rob. Just
me
didn't work
too.
Out. But it was great.
Yeah, that was totally a unique once-in-a-lifetime thing.
He's such a nice guy, too. I really didn't think he would
be.
Given his status, I thought he might be a little, you know, uppity, but he totally wasn't.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's really not what you expect at all, you know, for somebody who's known so much, you know?
The best part is I just called him up. I mean, I came across his number. I'm not saying how I got it, but I just called him up. And he was totally cool. He's like, dude, you know, I'll talk with you about cosplaying, and I'll talk with you about Transformers. And sure enough, he did the next day. So that was great.
And we've got what's the full length? How long does the full interview run?
It's over 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And listen, no, seriously, listen to it. Toward the end there, it got a little wild and wacky that you heard. He lets it all fly, and he's uncompromising also in his opinion. And you know, when it comes to like the Michael Bay films, I honestly have to agree.
Yeah, I mean,
to a degree, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, my opinion only goes so far. I'm sorry, the dog. He suggests that Michaela have a.
Hey, our listener, in other words, listen to the entire interview.
Oh,
yes.
Dear.
Every minute is worth your time.
What?
I day me for our bilingual speakers. I think that means, oh my goodness.
Yes, it does.
My Spanish, yes. I was a Spanish major in college.
Oh my goodness.
What?
No, I wasn't. I took it 2 years of
I almost wouldn't doubt that. I could almost. Because, hey, why not, right?
Okay. But yeah, the interview was awesome. Listen to the whole thing. Tell your friends. This week's Twitter Theater is a little bit late, but we wanted to somehow tie Twitter Theater into our topic for the week, which is cosplay. So
naturally, we picked from Robots in Disguise, episode 15, Commandos, which, among other things, features the four Predacons in homemade Optimus Prime costumes.
Excellent.
It also features the first appearance of Ruination, and by extension, the first utterance of Ruination Awakens, which is like the best thing ever.
It is one of the best things ever.
That isn't cosplay.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
So guys, do we have anything else for this cosplay edition, this cosplay train wreck edition of Radio Free Cybertron?
Cosplay Rhinox farted.
Yeah, I was going to do that at BotCon.
Do we have anything on our respective blogs this week?
I thought we weren't going to do that on RFC anymore.
I'm asking if we have anything Transformers related, buddy.
No, but we got suggestions about Snuggies on mine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Rob, yeah, Snuggies. Hey, so did they add a TF Wiki page on the Transformers Snuggie?
They better.
I'll check it out.
That's like the best idea ever, too.
Okay.
Please,
hey,
them.
I'm going to sort of tease something. We're working out details, but we're working out details with a very famous scary trans fan for a weekly segment to sort of bring back the whole trivia thing. And I think this is a really innovative idea that John had. Hopefully next week we can tell you more if it materializes, and if not, we'll just pretend it never happened.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, well, like most things, like trivia. We never mention that again.
We just sort of pretended it didn't happen.
We're like the WWE here, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it on the cliffhanger. Nobody cares.
So, I mean, I don't have anything else. What are we talking about next week? Do we have any plans? I really, really, really want to talk about the RTM1 dubs.
Like,
that sounds like a solid idea.
Like, all right. Really bad. Also, we're working on hopefully getting an interview for fan fiction, since it is JD.
It is, I don't know how you pronounce it, Nanowyrmi? It's the National Novel Writing Month. It's a whole month where you're supposed to write a novel in a month. So,
yeah, so hopefully,
get cracking.
Yeah. Yeah. We're working on a couple of people who can possibly come on to talk about fan fiction. If nothing else, we'll just get me to talk because I've like almost finished one fanfic.
We totally need to get Carl on the show.
Yeah.
For that.
But there's a lot of people that participate in that. I think you say Scout. I think Scout's doing the novel writing, and
Scout would be great.
Tim from Cold Hard Slag, he's right. Not necessarily Transformers related, but I mean they're participating in it. So people that know what we're talking about are yelling at me, going, "You have no idea what you're talking about." but
I think that happens a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
especially to me.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I wish our podcast had a scale face who could just sort of sit there and listen to each show and sort of pick apart all the mistakes that we make.
We need a commentary for our show.
I want a trans
people that actually know what they're talking about. Going, wow, these guys have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I want someone
a
who's
commentary
so
for a podcast.
That's exciting, isn't it?
There's something meta about that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that same thing.
Yes.
Okay, so guys, you can go ahead and take off your cosplay costumes, and we will join you back next week with another Radio Free Cybertron, and we're going to talk about the RTM1 dubs.
Yeah, this Chromia costume's chafing.
Yeah. God. God almighty.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?